Josh, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Well, good, Josh. It started out as a Road Warrior series, but the home teams have won the last two games. I don't know. You know, I've been reading online. Everybody's talking about the Kings and their experience in game sevens, because I think their team has got a combined like 44-4 in game sevens. Well, the Ducks are 7-22. I'm not sure I put any stock into that, but you look at the matchup and how this series has gone from an Anaheim perspective. What do you like that they've done late in the series compared to early?
Well, you know, first off, when they've been good, they've addressed the issue of the first two games, which was, how come you can't make it from the perimeter into the low slot when you never really have a problem with that during the regular season? I mean, the Ducks just simply didn't get to where they are by being a team that can't be direct. Got to give the Kings defense a lot of credit, but that would be the one area, a general directness and an understanding, especially amongst the younger guys, that you know, in the playoffs, as you know, the opportunities are few and far between, and you have to bear down. When the Ducks have done that, they rattled off wins in games 3, 4, and 5, and game 6 was a real rough one, and a very good one for the Kings.
How have the Ducks been able to use their speed better these last three games?
Well, you know, I think that the Ducks have had it throughout. I think it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that the passes are crisper and that the shots are more direct, and that maybe we can get some second and third opportunities. And we have guys like Cogliano, who you know well from Edmonton, you guys, and he loves to go real fast into small areas of the ice. He's been really one of the best Ducks throughout the whole stretch run here. Kyle Palmieri drew back into the lineup. You saw him pull a wrap attempt and successfully on John Quick. I think that the Ducks, you know, listen, when they're moving and, you know, they understand that the time is now, they're all right. But, you know, in the losses, they've let the Kings put some second thoughts in their heads, you know, and they need to, you know, get some, you know, start blasting some shots from the blue line and stop with the hesitation. So it's really a matter of younger guys being able to step up and do that, guys like Sammy Vatanen and Cam Fowler. The injection of Sammy Vatanen into the lineup picked up the Ducks in the speed department as well, and that's not a knock on Mark Fistrick, but Vatanen sure has the wheels and can move. So the speed is there. The speed has been there. I just think that the urgency and the desperation has to be there, and those are really just cliches in the regular season, I think, but in the playoffs, you know, these teams are so close that really it is going to come down to determination. And if the Ducks are determined to use that speed, then they'll be all right.
Josh, you look at Gibson, obviously a weak goal that he allowed by Lewis, but after that goal, he didn't show any signs of a guy who looked rattled. It was almost like he's like, yeah, I screwed up, should have made the save, and it didn't get to him. And we've seen a lot of goalies, when they allow a real bad goal, it seems to hang over their head for quite some time. Is this guy that cool all the time?
Yeah, I think he is. And, you know, he's got some international experience as well. I think you're right to point out that he's not, you know, standing there shaking his head, looking at the ice, and how did I do this? There must have been at least a half a game left when that puck went in. And you know, in my book, the goalie is entitled to – he's allowed to let in two goals, unless it's just, look, it's the very end of the game and it's 1-1 and you need some big saves. It's another scenario. But when you've let in two goals, you know, any NHL team in my book that feels like they deserve to win a game is obligated to score three goals. So, you know, if it was 4-4 and he lets that kind of a trickler in at the very end of the game, then you have an issue. But it's a 2-1 game, and the Ducks had more than enough opportunities to overcome that. And also, the real lesson of game 6, I think, is that again, a cliche, come flying out of the gate. Well, the Kings did, you didn't. And that whole first period was a waste of 20 minutes as far as I was concerned. So you know, Gibson's fine, and it's a big risk. You got to give Boudreau a lot of credit for this, because, I mean, just to continue a second here, you know, they critique Boudreau because the Capitals didn't conquer the world. I don't think the team was ever destined to conquer the world. They critique Boudreau because they took an exit in 7 games last year to Detroit. I don't see a lot of shame in that, and the Ducks didn't finish well down the stretch. But, you know, to knock the coach the way I've heard the critics knock the coach, if you look at him sitting down Teemu Selänne and putting in Gibson at the end of the regular season, going from Anderson to Hiller and back in the playoffs, and making some tough calls, you know, I think that Boudreau, and especially with regard to Gibson, has shown quite a bit of mettle. Like, you know, I'm going to go with my hunch. I'm going to go for it. Let's roll the dice. And that's kind of the kind of gambler you need sometimes to wake the guys up.
Who will be riding shotgun between or beside Perry and Getzlaf for the Ducks tonight?
Oh, I think it'll be Devo. I think it'll be Devontae Smith-Pelly, as it should be. Getzlaf and Perry were not great in Game 6. Neither was Smith-Pelly. But he didn't play badly, but he's a fire hydrant of a guy. He's wide. He's not real tall, but he's wide, and he loves to bang, and he doesn't take a lot of dumb penalties. He's taken a couple of minors, but he doesn't take real dumb ones. He doesn't do anything stupid. I think that he's definitely a good left wing. The club, let's be honest, the club thought they had Thomas Vanek. They didn't. And you know, when you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets sending Marian Gaborik to the Kings, as they're heading into the playoffs, they send him to the Kings for two picks and a prospect. I can tell you that I've spoken to Kings executives in recent days who said, we were surprised that that happened. So it should be very interesting what Devo can do, but he can clear a lot of bodies, and I think that if it's top versus top, this is just going to be even more of an epic series than it's been.
Anze Kopitar has been outstanding in the playoffs thus far. What's the matchup tonight that the Ducks must have if they're going to slow him down?
Well, that's the interesting question. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of top versus top, which means Getzlaf up against Kopitar. I might wonder whether they tell Saku Koivu, just staple yourself to Kopitar as much as possible. But you know what this is like being out in Edmonton. This guy Kopitar should have already won two Selkies in my book and been nominated for probably three. But, you know, maybe now people are getting it. He's clearly the best two-way center in the game. He's a tremendously talented player. And I am very interested. It's a very good question, but I got to tell you, I'm very interested to see whether Boudreau continues with like Getzlaf up against Kopitar, or whether he would go and tell Saku or Matthew Perreault. But I think it might be Saku. Staple yourself to Kopitar. They've done a pretty good job containing him, and you know, when they've looked good. But boy, that, you know, again, he's dishing to Gaborik, and I can't, you know how he shoots. I mean, this is $7.5 million worth of hockey player, and to add that is a tremendous boost for the Kings.
Josh Brewster from Hockey Talk Biz or HockeyTalk.biz joins us, also the post-game host for the Anaheim Ducks. Josh, we saw, you know, a little fisticuffs in the crowd amongst the fans earlier on. How much has this series energized the rivalry amongst the fan bases between the Kings and the Ducks?
I got to tell you, this is you know, there's a geographic line here, and you're either in OC with the 3 million people who live down there, or you're in LA County with the 9.5 million people who live in LA County, and it's as heated as can be. I had a 9-year-old kid tell me Ducks suck when I walked into the rink yesterday because my kid plays up in LA. I looked at the kid, I said, you're talking to an adult kid. His mom had to chew him out. But that's the temperature here, and everybody's at each other, and but I got to tell you, the one thing that I would say, and this is all funny because, you know, I mean, I know Bob Miller, Jim Fox, Darrell Evans. I've known them for over a decade now, more. And, you know, we get along great. It's professional courtesy. But the fans, woo, it's tough. And this is it, man. I mean, this aside from cup nights, I mean, this is the biggest game the Ducks have ever played, probably the biggest game the Kings have ever played, other than the cup clinchers, I think, or maybe the conference final clinchers that they've played. I would put this up there with any of the games that the Ducks played against the New Jersey Devils when they lost in 03, except for the cup night when they could have walked off with that. I mean, this is huge. And, you know, it's very much, it's you're either a Ducks fan or a Kings fan, like Boudreau said. It's nobody's both, and it's a very heated rivalry here. And, you know, just to report to you guys up there, the rinks are full out here. We have, you know, the Ducks are expanding rinks. The Kings are branding rinks, but it's hard to get ice time, and everybody wants their kid playing in-house or travel. And so it's our peak moment here, really, other than the cup nights. This is really our peak moment is tonight.
Well, it should be an excellent game. Josh, we appreciate it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, anytime, guys. I'm honored. Thanks very much for calling me today.